Today's share is Masechta Nazir Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Amar Bakiva, Danti Lefnei Rebbe Lezer. I made the following Kavachomer as I was learning by Rebbe Lezer. Uma Ametzim Kesoira. If we speak about the Tuma of Etzim Kesoira, which is a more lenient Tuma. Etzim Kesoira cannot make a person have tumas oil. If a person remains in the same oil as a Etzim Kesoira, the tumas oil doesn't apply. Still, if a nozer touched an Etzim Kesoira, the halacha is that all of the halachas of a nozer tamei will apply. V'yistam. So certainly a Revi Stam, Shematama Odom Ba'oil, that has the halacha that if somebody is in the oil of a Revi Stam, the halacha is he has Tumas oil, and then certainly he says the halacha ought to be She'enozer Megaleich Amagav Amasai, if a nozer touches a Revi Stam of a Nifter, the halacha is that he should certainly be considered a nozer Tamei. Says, ask the Rosh, from where do we know that Rabbi Kiva indeed holds that a nozer should be Megaleich on a Revi Stam? We can't learn it from Etzim Kesoira because we have a rule, Dai Lovim and Adin Lias Kenidon, that when we learn something from something else, even if there's a great Kal V'Chomer, the subject that we're learning cannot be any more stringent than what we are learning from. So, yes, we're learning the halacha of Revi Stam from Etzim Kesoira, but Etzim Kesoira, we just said, is not Matama Ba'il. Says the Rosh, Rabbi Kiva had a Mesoira from his Rabbeim that a Nazir is Megaleich al Tumah Revi Stam, even when it's Ba'il. And what he taught us in the Mishnah, that this through a Kal V'Chomer, was not meant, says the Rosh, that it should be considered strictly a Kal V'Chomer, and he should learn this halacha through a Kal V'Chomer. Because as we just said, if we're going to learn from a Kal V'Chomer, we can't learn from a Kal V'Chomer anything more stringent than what we're learning from. Rather, he's saying to Rabbi Kiva, even if you don't have a Mesoira from your Rebbe's, that is the halacha, if you'll understand my Kal V'Chomer, and you'll then be able to accept the Mesoira from my Rebbeim. Amali, which Rabbi Lezer responded to me, Maza Akiva ain't done kan Mikal V'Chomer. So Rabbi Lezer said to Rabbi Kiva, we can't over here use the Kal V'Chomer approach. Even though in other places we certainly accept the Kal V'Chomer approach, over here we cannot accept the Kal V'Chomer approach. But he didn't explain why a Kal V'Chomer approach would not be acceptable. But says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah, but when I came and I repeated this dialogue to Rabbi Yeshua, Amali, he said to me, Yofa Marta, the Kal V'Chomer is good, and it would be a good source to learn. However, El Kach Amru Chachamim, this is what the Chachamim, taught us, Halacha, that since these halachas that we are learning here are all based on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and the halacha is that we don't learn a Kal V'Chomer when the subject matter is based on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And Rashi explains that the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is considered Torah Shebaal Peh. And when we speak about different ways of learning Kal V'Chomer, of course being a most common way of learning halacha, whenever we learn that, it's based on Torah Shebaksav. But since halacha l'moshe m'sinai is considered Torah Shebapeh, we can't use the shlosh esrei middos that we say in the Brisa of Yishmol to be one of the ways to establish halacha. And I saw that the Mefarshim point out that if we look at the wording of the Mishnah says, Elkein Amru. What is meant with the words Elkein Amru? Kan says that today we learned this halacha. You know, it's this halacha that we're going to, this rule that we're going to use throughout Shas, that is here inappropriate. Because here we're learning a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And since it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, it cannot be the source of a kal v'chomer. So we just learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva wanted to learn the halacha that if somebody comes in contact with Revi Stam, he has a nazir that comes in contact with Revi Stam is considered a nazir tamei, and he learned it from a kal v'chomer from etzim k'soira, because the kal v'chomer was that if an etzim k'soira, which is not metama ba'oil, the halacha is that if a nazir carries or touches an etzim k'soira, he's considered a nazir that became tamei. So certainly Revi Stam, which is metame ba'oil, the halacha is that a nazir should be considered a nazir tamei if he touched a Revi Stam. And Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua said that it's unacceptable because we can't learn a kavachim through something which is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. As we explained, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is Torah Shebaaleh. Torah Shebaaleh is not learned that way. Others say that this is a specific rule that was said regarding halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The halacha l'moshe m'Sinai should never be included in learning a kal v'chomer. Ibailu. But the question that the Gemara wants to know is which of the subjects that we're discussing in our Mishnah is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? Is the etzem k'soira? Is the halacha of an etzem k'soira? What the halacha of etzem k'soira is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and then we want to learn the halacha of Revi Stam kal v'chomer. That we want to learn the halacha of Revi Stam through a kal v'chomer from etzem k'soira. And Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua say ain donim kal v'chomer mehalacha. We can't learn the halacha of Revi Stam from etzem k'soira, which is only halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Or Dilma suggests the Gemara Revi Stam, the halacha that the Revi Stam is metame ba'oil, is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Etzem k'soira, and therefore to learn the halachas that should be applicable by Revi Stam from etzem k'soira, that we can't learn a kal v'chomer. Vein dam a kal v'chomer mehalacha. So the question is, which is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? Tashma, the Braisa says that etzem k'soira, the halacha of etzem k'soira is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And Revi Stam to learn, and then we want to learn the halacha regarding Revi Stam. They ain't done a kal v'chomer mehalacha, and we can't learn a kal v'chomer from a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The Mefarshim point out what's the difference, which is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and which is not. As long as one of the two subjects that are being learned are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, we're learning in our shiur today that you can't learn that way. So what's the difference? Which one is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and which is not? So some say that indeed there is no nafkamina. The Sefer in the Sivas HaKodesh says there is a nafkamina. If a Revi Stam is metame ba'oil medaraisa, then the halacha is that if somebody's going to enter the Beis HaMikdash because he was in the oil of a Revi Stam, then he will get malchus. But if the halacha that a Revi Stam is metame ba'oil is only a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, then the halacha is that if somebody would enter the Beis HaMikdash because he was in the oil of a Revi Stam, although he would be considered that he did a terrible avera of entering the Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei, but you wouldn't get malchus, because you only get malchus on an iser daraisa, which is stated in the Torah, not on something which is only halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And therefore, he says it's important to know what is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and what is the daraisa, because that will be relevant to understand that where is there going to be malchus for entering for this tumma, and where will there not be malchus for this type of tumma? Hanuloch kohen gadol, hanuloch kohen gadol, hanuloch kohen gadol. Begins the Mishnah. Shnei nazirim. If we have two nazirim, both of them took upon themselves Naziris. And the way the Rishonim learned the Mishnah, in order to learn the Mishnah in the simplest way, is they both became Nazirim at the same time. And they both became Nazirim at the same time for the same amount of time. But now, for, let's say for 30 days. But now the question is, Shamalam Echad, now somebody said to them, Risi Echemem Nitma, I saw that one of you became Tamei. However, Veni Dei Ezimchem, I don't know which one of you is the one that's Tamei. The Rishonim all point out that the case that we're referring in our Mishnah is a situation where the person is not responding that you don't know what you're talking about. Because if the person would say back that I disagree, and if I disagree and it's not true, I didn't become Tamei, since there's only an Eid Achad who's saying that he's Tamei, the Eid Achad would not be believed. The Shas Truus Hartzvi in Yoridei Simen Kuf Tezvov discusses a situation where somebody said he saw a child put a milchiga, a fleshiga spoon into a milchiga pot, or what the way the Shaila said is that he said that he first saw this child put a spoon into a milchiga pot, something cooking dairy, and then right afterwards he saw that I'm putting the same spoon into a pot in which meat was cooking. And the child is saying it's not true. What will be the halacha on that second pot, the pot that is the fleshiga pot? So the Shach in Yerideya, Simen Kuf Chav Zayin, Sif Kotten Te Zayin, brings a discussion where Eid Echot says that I saw your wine become Yayin Nesach. And he says that to an individual, and the person, what is the halacha? So he says that if the person who is being said about the noise and says it's just not true, then the halacha is that the person, since he's only an Eid Echot, he's not Neman. Here, the question of the Har Tzvi is a little more complicated, because as we just are learning in our Mishnah, the halacha, as the Rishonim said, if somebody says, I know you're a Nazir Tamei, and I disagree, so the halacha is that he could not make me into Nazir Tamei. And as we said, the Rishonim say that the entire discussion of our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the person is not responding. He's just saying, could be what you're saying is right, I do not know. But if he would disagree, the person disagreeing would be Neman. Here, what would be the halacha if it's a cotton who's saying that it's not true? What will be the halacha? So the Shaar Tzvi says that since in halacha a cotton statement has no validity, so the cotton saying that what you're saying about me is not true doesn't have any halachic bearing, because the statement of a cotton has no halachic bearing. So the halacha therefore is that we would believe the person who said he saw it and not the other one. Says the Mishnah. So again, we have these two Nazirim. The Ramalham, somebody saying to them, Risi Echemem Shnitma, I know one of you is Tamei. However, any day, Ezimchem, I don't know which one it is, Megalchem, they both should cut their hair like a Nazir Tamei. Mevim Karban Tuma, as we've learned many times in our Masechta, somebody, a Nazir becomes Tamei, has to bring three Karbanos, Chatas Ha'if, Oilas Ha'if, and a Keves La'osham. And then, the Karban Tahara. And then they should bring the Karban that a Nazir brings when he finishes his Naziris properly. Vaymer, and each one of them should say, Emanihu Tamei, if I was the Nazir that became Tamei, and you are the Nazir that's Tar, the Karban Tumah Shali, so I'm the one that's obligated to bring the Karban Tumah, and that's what I'm doing, the Karban Tara Shalcha, and you're the one that's to bring the Karban Tara, you have successfully completed your Nazirah, your Naziris, so this is your Karban Tahara, And if it's vice versa, v'manihu atarif, I'm the individual who's tar, so then the karmat tar shali, this is all at the end of, obviously, of 30 days, v'karmat tumah shalcha, and you're the one that's going to bring the karmat tar. Taisa says that it's not necessarily for both of them to expressly say this tonight, that as long as they both bring the two sets of kabbanas together, that is sufficient. However, there are Rishonim that say that it's not sufficient that they should bring the kabbanas together, but they have to say, they have to go and say the statement. I saw another opinion in the Rishonim that not necessarily do both of them have to make the statement. If one will make the statement, it'll be sufficient. The Seferim, and now they have to count another 30 days. The Seferim Shloshim Yoim, now they have to count another 30 days, because maybe one of them was a Nazir that's Tamei. And as we've discussed numerous times, a Nazir that becomes Tamei forfeits his Naziris and has to start again. And since we don't know which is the Nazir that's Tamei and which is the Nazir that's Tahar, so they have to, the first one, both of them have to consider themselves a Nazir that was Tamei, and they have to start now counting the Naziris of Tahara. And then at the end of that 30 days, they say, Umavin Karmat Tahara, now at the end of that second 30 days, they bring the Karmat Tahara, and one says to the other, Imaniu Atame, if I was the one that was Tamei, Karmat Tumah Shali, the Karmat Tumah that was brought was my Karmat Tahara, the Karmat Tahara Shalcha, and the Karmat Tahara that was brought then was yours, Vizeh, so this carbon that's being brought now is the carbon taharasi that I have to bring, because now I have finally successfully finished my term of Naziris. V'amanihu atar, if I was the original one that was tar, the carbon tahara that was brought at the end of the first 30 days, shali, the carbon tuma that was brought at the end of those 30 days, shalcha, was yours. V'zeh, and therefore the carbon tahara that's being brought today to, because the Naziris Tahara has been completed, is your carbon. Of course, the Rishonim, the Meiri, points out, as we said at the beginning of our shir, our Mishnah begins with the simplest example. The simplest example is that they both are Nazirim, took upon the Naziris in the same day. The question obviously arose on the same day, and they both took upon themselves a Naziris of a 30-day Naziris. But the same halachas would apply if it was a longer term. Tani, says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, the case was, Shnei Nazirim, we have two Nazirim Sh'amalahem, that somebody said to them, Risi Es'echemem Shenitma, I saw one of you became Tamei, Ve'eni Yedeya Ezmechem, but I don't know which one of you is Tamei. Since I don't know which one of you is Tamei, so all of the questions that we began learning in the Mishnah arise. But ask the Gemara, Amai, why should we treat it that way? Why should this not be treated as a Suffolk Tum? Because the Halacha, says the Gemara, we know throughout Shas there's a concept of Suffolk Tumah. The Halacha is, called Suffolk Tumah, Rishus HaYachid, the Halacha that there's a Suffolk Tumah in Rishus HaYachid, that then we're Machmer, Meichi Al Pin Halah. From where do we learn that subject? That the halacha differentiates between Suffolk Tumah and Rishus HaYachid and Suffolk Tumah and Rishus HaRabim. Call Suffolk Tumah and Rishus HaYachid Me'echi Yalpina Law. We learn that halacha from a saita. So ask the Gemara, Mas saita. When we speak about a saita, there was only two individuals. The saita is an individual, is a woman, whose husband warned her not to remain secluded. And that saita, the halacha is, that is treated like a saita until she comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and we go through the entire procedure to determine if she's Tamei or Tahar. We treat her as Tamei, and she may not have relations with her husband. So says the Gemara, when we speak about a saita, there's a boil and a nevelis. There's only two people. Af kol soit, Suffolk Tuma. Whenever we speak about a Suffolk Tuma, in Rishus HaYachid, is the situation is Kigoyin Dikabe Trey, where there are only two people. Avalhocha, here, Shnei Nazirim, we have these two Nazirim, and there we also have this third individual that saw what happened to them. Haida Koi Gabeim. We have this third person that's standing there. So that's Tlosa. So we now have three people. So now, once we have three people, says the Gemara, Havalei, Sofak Tamar Rishos Rabbim. Once we have more than two people, it's considered, as far as the halachas of Tuma, a Rishos Rabbim. And the halacha is that whenever we have a Sofak Tuma Rishos Rabbim, the halacha is Sveika Tar, we're lenient. So why in our Mishnah are we taking a strict approach, asked the Gemara? We ought to be lenient. Amar Rava Barav Huna, the answer is the Gemara, the case of our Mishnah is Ba'oimer Reisi Tumish Nezucha Beneichem. That it's not that he was standing amongst them. The halacha here was that he was standing further away. And since he was standing further away, it was only those two people. And since it's only those two people, then the halacha is it's a Rishus HaYochid, and it's a Sofik Tum of Rishus HaYochid. However, Taisus makes a very important point. He says that our Gemara is not exactly identical to the case of a Saita. In the case of a Saita, she may be Tameh, Chas V'Shalom, she may have had this adulterous relationship, she may not be Tameh. Here, and that's why the Torah teaches us, Safek Tameh Rishus HaYochid is Tameh. Here, we're talking about a case where we don't know who is the one that's Tameh, and therefore it's not really identical. But Taisus says, the way to understand the Gemara is that the Torah HaKadosh teaches us that there's a rule of Safek Tameh Rishus HaYochid. And whenever there's a rule of Safek Tameh Rishus HaYochid, whatever the circumstances are, we are machmer. And that's why over here, we have to be machmer. And Omer of Ashi, Dekanami, that's the way to understand the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, the Ketani, the Mishnah, as we learned the Mishnah where there are two Nazirim, and then there's the third individual saying something about them. He says, "V'eini yedei eizem mechem." He doesn't know who became Tameh. If he was standing amongst them, explained the Rishonim, we could say that he knew and forgot. "Eini yedei" means he never knew. Why does "eini yedei" mean he never knew? Because he wasn't standing next to them. And since he was not standing amongst them, he never knew who became Tameh. And since he doesn't know who became Tameh, that's the case of the Mishnah. And that's how the Rambam explains this Gemara's Teretz, that this person who's saying testimony was standing from far away and wasn't able to see what happened. The Ravid says it doesn't have to be that he was standing necessarily far away. As long as he wasn't standing amongst them, that the same halacha would apply. But one of the things that we've just learned in our Gemara is that when we talk about, we normally, when we speak about Rishus HaRabim and when we speak about Rishus HaYochid, we speak about Hilchos Shabbos. What makes an area considered Rishus HaYochid for Hilchos Shabbos? What makes an area considered a Rishus HaRabim for Hilchos Shabbos? Here we've learned a new concept of Rabbim and Yochid, referencing the halachas of Safek Tuma B'Shus HaYochid and Safek Tuma B'Shus HaRabim. And the question is, we know there's the very serious isser of Malbim Pnei Chaveri B'Rabim, that one is not allowed to embarrass somebody publicly. Somebody who does so is considered Kilo Hargoy, as if he killed him. And the question is, and in fact, the Rambam says that Osel Adam Wahachlam Yisrael Vakoshkeim Berabim Avvisha Machlam Chaver Ena Lodka Alav Avoyin Godelhu. Even though there's no Malkus, it's a terrible sin. And says the Rambam Kach Amru. This is the Rambam Hilchos Deis Perek Vav Halacha Ches. Kach Amru Chachamim Hamalbim Pnei Chaver Berabim. Somebody who embarrasses somebody publicly doesn't have a share in Olam Haba. A person has to be most careful not to embarrass anyone publicly, whether a minor or an adult. Or not use a name that would embarrass him. Leisaplov the front of Davish Shabarishmanu, not to speak in front of something that embarrasses him. It's better to jump into a furnace. What is the halacha? How many people are the rabbim? So some say that it's 10, which is normally the amount of rabbim, because that's the amount that you have for a minyan. However, in our Gemara, we've learned that the difference between rabbim and yachid is two people and three people. And that's why the Chavetz Chaim paskins that as far as the halacha of amal ben pnei chaver b'rabim, the halacha is that has to be three people. And not only is it three people, but the paskins say that it's not just three people aside from the person that's doing the embarrassing. The person who's embarrassing someone else is also considered one of those three people. And the concept is all based on our Gemara, where we see that Sofak Tomer Bershus Arabim involves three people. The Tarek Dosha says, Alav, Loisakifu pas Roishchem, Loisashkas is pas Sukanecha. And as we're going to learn, this is the Isser of cutting one's payas on the head and one cutting one beard. We're going to learn that now we're going to speak about women as far as this halacha is concerned. So our Mishnah said that when we had these two Nazirim, one of them became Tamei, but we're not certain which is the one that's Tamei. So the halacha is, as we discussed, we have to wait 30 days, because if the person is not Tamei, a nazir becomes tamei, he has to cut his head, hair. But a person who's not, a nazir who's not tamei, may not cut his hair. So he has to wait for 30 days. If he's a nazir tamei, so he's cutting his hair as the halacha requires. If he's not tamei, so now his term of naziris is over, and therefore he could cut his hair. And therefore they wait the 30 days. And at that point, megalchim, they cut their hair. One is cutting his hair because he's a nazir tamei. One is cutting his hair because he's a nazir tar. And they bring two sets of kabbanis. The set of kabbanis that are brought when a nazir tamei has to bring. The set of kabbanis that a nazir tar brings. And they then bring both of these sets. And then they start counting again the terms of Naziris, because we don't know which was the Nazir Tamei that forfeited his Naziris and now has to count the proper Naziris. And then at the end of that 30 days, they have to go through the procedure of a Nazir that's Tar that finishes his term. Ask the Gemara, why would they be allowed to take the second haircut? Amai, Dimalav Tamei Ninen, maybe they were not Tamei. We don't know which one was the Tamei. And the halacha is that a nazir, both when he's a nazir tamei and when he's a nazir tar, has to take a haircut, remove all the hair of his head. But that's a haircut that may not be taken only in the case that the Torah says you're allowed to take the haircut. So if the haircut is what the Torah requires it to take, fantastic. He's doing what the Torah told him to do. But if it's not the haircut that the Torah requires of him, maybe he's not Tomei, and he's doing hakafa, he's doing a haircut in a way that he's not allowed to do, because only a nazir could take the haircut that way. So the way most Rishonim explain, the question here is on the second haircut that's being taken. Because the person who's taking, both of them are taking a haircut twice, but only one of them was required to take two haircuts. The one that became Tomei. The one that was never Tamei only had a right to take the haircut once. And the Gemara's question is, how could he be taking a haircut the second time if he's not allowed to take that haircut? He's over the lav of Lysakifa Pas Roishchem. Answers the Gemara, Am Shmuel, the Mishnah speaking about a woman doesn't have the Isser of a Kafas Roish or a Katan, and therefore a child, and therefore the case of our Mishnah is referring to such individuals, so them taking such haircuts is not considered a violation of the lav of Lo Sekifu pass Roishchem. Ask the Gemara, so the Achronim ask that how could somebody give a haircut to a child, even though he's obviously not a mitzvah, he's not mechuyev mitzvahs, and as we have learned early in the Masechta, that you can have a child that somebody's not by mitzvah, be mechuyev, be a nazir, so that's the case that the Gemara is referring to, but isn't there a halacha asked the Shaar HaMalach that also lahachel cotton is sebiyadayim, that we are prohibited to serve a cotton something that's not kosher. So how can we give a cotton a haircut when once he'll be a gadol, such an he will not be allowed to take such a haircut? Says the Shaar HaMalach that the iser of, even though normally we are not allowed to give something also to a cotton, even though he's a cotton, the halacha of cutting payas is not that type of situation. There's no iser to give a cotton, to give a cotton a haircut that he would not be allowed to take once he becomes a gadol. And he explains why. He says, when is there a halacha that you're not allowed to give a cotton something that he's not allowed to have? As an example would be giving a cotton food that is not kosher. So the cotton is eating something that's not kosher. But here, the cotton is not doing anything. He's just sitting there and getting a haircut. Since he's sitting there and he's not doing anything, and he is a cotton, there is no problem. So, ask the Gemara of a Lukma begodl. Why don't we say that the case of our Mishnah is speaking about a godel? And the reason there's no problem giving him the haircut is because HaKofa's Kol HaRosh, Lo Yishma HaKofa. Giving a haircut that cuts off all of the hair is not considered violating the lav of Lo Sekifu Pas Roishchem. Says the Gemara, that would have been the easy answer to this question. Suggests the Gemara, Mid Eloi Mukum Mayhachi, the fact that the Gemara did not give this answer, Shmamina, it's obvious that Kesav is Shmuel, that Shmuel's opinion is that Kofas Kol Roish Shma Kofa, that cutting off all of the hand, the Halacha is considered, all of the hair of the head is considered a Kofa, and therefore that is not, therefore saying that it's a Gadol, but I'm cutting off all his hair, I'm not doing anything wrong, is not a legitimate Tameh, is not a legitimate Teretz. Mazutra Masa L'Hosh Shmaat L'Shmuel, Mazutra had a different version where Shmuel said that our Mishnah is speaking about Ishva Katan. It's going regarding the Sefer. It's referring to the Mishnah that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Nun Tes Amabez. The Mishnah over there speaks about a Nazir. On the first day of his Naziris, he had a question if he's Tamei. Shayu Tamei B'Safik. He had a question if he became Tamei. And the question is, is he a Nazir Tameh or is he only a Nazir Tameh? And this individual was also Mukhlet B'Safik. We've been discussing a Metzayra Mukhlet. A Metzayra Mukhlet is a person who is identified and quarantined as a Metzayra. And the halacha is that that if a Nazir becomes a Metzayra Mukhlet, the halacha is he, even though a Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair, he does. The question here is, does he cut his hair or not? The halacha is, we're going to learn in that Mishnah, he only can eat kachim after 60 days, or magaleach, he's going to have to take arba taglachas, because he might not have been tamei, he might not have been a nazir, or he might have been tamei and might have been a nazir, as we will discuss all the various situations. And everything is based on a suffix, because we don't know for sure what his situation is. And ask the Gemara the same question. How can we give him a haircut for Kavod HaKofa? If he's obligated to have the haircut, fantastic. But if he's not obligated to have the haircut, how are we allowed to give him that haircut? He's being over the lav of Lo Sekifu Pas Roishchem. So says the Gemara, the same teretz. On the Shmuel, that the case of that Mishnah is referring to a woman, the Isha B'Katan, so there's no lav of Lo Sekifu Pas Roishchem. Our Gemara now begins a sugya about who may not give a person a haircut that involves cutting the payas? The Torah HaKadosh says, as we said before, Lo'isakifa pas roishchem, v'lo'isashchus as pas kanecha, and a Chazal teaches us, we're not allowed to cut off the payas, and we're not allowed to use a razor to cut a beard. And Chazal teach us that this halacha is echer hamakif v'echer hanikif. Both the person who gives the haircut and the person who receives the haircut are over the slav. And Rashi explains, why is that the halacha? Because Rashi says, look at the wording of the Torah. The Torah, when it speaks about these isurim, says it b'loshen rabim. Lo'isakifu pas roishchem. The fact that the Torah says it b'loshen rabim is the proof that this isur applies to the person who's giving the haircut and the person who's receiving the haircut. There's an interesting machlokes Rambam and Ravid. The Ravid considers this, the makif and the nikif, as two separate lavim. The Rambam doesn't, because the Rambam says that even though the nikif, of course, is not allowed to, the person is not allowed to receive such a haircut, but the person who's just sitting there and getting such a haircut, it's a lav she'ein by maisim. The Rambam explains what is the reason for lo'isakifu pas roishchem. He says it was the derech ha'ov de kechavim, the derech of the nochrim in those days, that they would cut their hair, round off the hair, and cut off the payas. And we are not, we have to be careful, which is going to be a big subject that we're going to be learning in our shurim, not to look like them. The Torah is disappointed with the Rambam, because the Torah says we're not supposed to explain the reason for mitzvahs of the Torah. We're supposed to follow what it says in the Torah and not try to come up with reasons for it. A woman does not have the iser of lo'isakifu pas roishchem. This halacha doesn't apply to women. What we're going to discuss in our shir is, what about a woman giving a haircut to a man? She doesn't have the iser, but what is going to be the halacha of her giving the haircut to a man who has the iser? There's also a fundamental machlokes rishonim. When we speak about the iser of akafas haroish, does it mean that you're not allowed to cut the payas in any fashion? Or is the iser akafas haroish only said with a razor? But if you didn't use a razor, then there wouldn't be a lav of akafas haroish. So says the Gemara, Amar Afuna, hamakif is a cotton. If somebody gives a haircut to a cotton, harayu chayiv. The person who's giving the haircut is chayiv malkus. Amalei, Rav Adi bar Ahava l'Rav Huna. So Rav Adi bar Ahava said to Rav Huna, v'didoch, your children, ma megaleich lahem, I see that your children have all their hair cut. And you're saying that one is not allowed to give a haircut to a child that way. Who is the one that gives your children such a fashion haircut? Amalei, so Rav Huna responded, my wife's name, who was Chayva, gives them such a haircut. So Rav Adi said, a very sharp word. So Rav Adi said, Tigrei Chayva Lebenea. Do you want that your children should die? According to Rav Adi, there is no difference. And a woman is not allowed to give a child a haircut that way. And giving a child a haircut that way, Rav Adi was concerned, would cause that the children should die. Says the Gemara, because of Adi bar Ahava made such a sharp statement, Kula Shnei de Rav Adi bar Ahava, during Rav Adi bar Ahava's lifetime, like Kaim Lezar la Rav Huna. Rav Huna's children did not survive. Because Rav Adi made such a sharp statement, and of course, it was not his intention to, of course, hurt them, but we know Kilos Chacham Afila Tanai Hizba. When a Chacham says something, is even if he didn't mean it, the words of a Chacham are very powerful, and that's why her children didn't survive. There's a number of lessons that we learned from here. The Klaus Magareba and the Sha'al Sechubas Divrei Yatziv, Yoridei Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, says, based on this we say that the hair, the payas of a child are what keep him alive. That's why the minig is that by many people, they don't give a haircut to their boys until they're 3 years old. And when they give the haircut, they used to make a party. It's a simcha. And the reason, explains the cause of a Gereba, is because our Gemara shows that a child having the proper payas harosh is a skula for them to have a good long life. The Sefer Lekutei Sheshanim says skula lasa simcha betaglachas harishonim shal hayeled. There's a special point to make a party, to make a simcha, when we cut a child's hair the first time. Shemechanchen, I say, because now we're having the opportunity to be mechanachim b'mitzvahs peyes harosh, to fulfill the mitzvah of having peyes. And he says, b'yushlaim oisaz simcha zu. He says, then Yerushalayim, the custom was that they made the simcha b'tupim and mechayla, singing and dancing. V'yesh noyagin, he says, lishkol asaris, achib gluach, they would weigh the hair that was cut, the zov or bekesef, with gold or silver, the noisel of tztaka, and they gave it to tztaka, for oimrim, and they say, shuskula shi'chacham b'tayra b'yirushmayim, the skula that the son will be a Talmud Chacham, he'll have Yerushmayim, v'yarech yomim b'toiv, and it'll be zoicha farichas yomim. Also from our Gemara, we learn a very important lesson, and that is the lesson of the power of words. As we just said, it was certainly not the intention of Rav Ada Bar Hava to curse Rav Huna, to curse Chayva, and that the children should not survive. But we still see, because he used these words, how careful we have to be with the words that we use. Interestingly enough, our Gemara says that Rav Huna's wife was called Chayva. We find in Shas that there were men that were called Chayva as well. And Rabbi Shmuel's father, in fact, was called Chayva. And the question is, is there a name that could be used for a man, the same name used for a man and a woman? And even if they can't use a sword that the Paiskim can say, this, even if you can use the same name for a man and a woman, if somebody has a son and a daughter, he should not call the son and the daughter with the same name. So here we learned a machlaikis. So we just learned a machlaikis between Rav Huna and Rav Ada Bar Hava. What is the halacha if somebody gives a haircut to a cotton that cuts off his payas? According to Rav Huna, it's osur. According to Rav Ada, it's potter. And the other question is, a woman who gives a man a haircut. According to Rav Ada, yichayev, and according to Rav Huna, yipotter. Ask the Gemara, michti, tavayu svirulei, they're both obviously of the opinion that akofas kol roish shma akofa, that cutting off all of the hair is usur, because otherwise there would be no problem in our discussion. They both hold that that is usur. What is the basis of their machloikas, however, asked them, Rav Maika Mifkli. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna, who was of the opinion that a woman is allowed to give a haircut to a cotton, sover, the Torah says, lo sakifa pas roishkem, lo sashkos pas lekonecha, koshi eshloi hashchasa, whoever has the lav of loishashkus as pasukanecha, yeshloi also has the lav of hakof of loisakiv pasraishchem. And hani nashi, women hoil v'lesnu bashchasa, they have no issue of hashchasas hazaken because they don't have a beard. That's the second, the pashup shot. The Gemara Masechta Gedushin, the Aflam and Hay on the base teaches us. And the other reason the Gemara over there says is because the Pasuk says, Zekonecha v'loy zekan ishtecha, your beard and not your wife's beard. And as the Rishonim point out, what would be the nafkamina between these two pshatim? And what would be the halacha of cutting the beard of an Eved Kanani? If we say that the reason is because women are exempt because they don't have beards, Avodim obviously do have beards, and they would not be exempt. If, however, we say that the issur is that because the Torah says the kanech v'lozakan ishtecha, and therefore the halacha is that women are exempt. And throughout halacha, we know that noshim, that the halacha of women are the same by women and by men. So if and avodim, so if women are exempt midaraisa, avodim will be exempt as well. So therefore, hani noshi however less than bashkasa, they don't have the halacha of hashkasa zaken less than a bakafa, and that's why they're allowed to cut the hair of a man or the hair of a cotton. Radabar have a sava, the Torah says loisakifu, and as we said earlier, since the Torah expressed itself the loshen rabim, from here we learn echad amakif echad nikif b'mashma. The Torah says that it applies both to the person giving the haircut and the person receiving the haircut. Veskishmakel f'nikif, and therefore the Torah connects them. And therefore, says the Gemara, kol echad the nikif mechayiv, wherever the person receiving the haircut is obligated in this mitzvah. So makif nami mechayiv, the person giving the haircut may not give such a haircut. V'hai cotton, however, who gufei labar unchen who, the cotton is still a cotton, so he has no iser. The mechayiv, he's not mechayiv akafas arosh. Therefore, makif nami loy mechayiv, somebody giving such a child a haircut will not be chayiv. On the other hand, since Rav Adabar Hava says we look at the person receiving the haircut, so women will not be allowed to give a haircut to a man who's not allowed to have such a haircut. And that's why Rav Adabar Hava held that a woman can't give a haircut to a man, but may give a haircut to a child. Rav Huna, obviously, however, disagrees. And he says a woman's allowed to give a haircut to a man, because a woman is not part of this Aveira. But he says that a man is not allowed to give a haircut to a cotton, because we don't say that just because the cotton is potter, the person giving the haircut should also be potter. And that's why Rav Huna says a man would never be allowed to give a cotton a haircut that involves cutting the pace.